I'd like to welcome back our TV viewers on Shore TV. We're here at Erickson's Restaurant in Lethbridge at a session of the Southern Alberta Council on Public Affairs. And our session today is education property taxes. Should they be eliminated or should they be maintained? Our speaker today is Chris Spearman. We now move to our question and answer session. I'll invite Chris Spearman up to the podium. You'll have to come up to this microphone here to pose your question. And we do ask you to come up to the microphone so that it's covered by Shore TV. State your name and short questions, please. Thank you.
I think you have to ask questions now or else I'm going to say my speech again.
Chris, I'd like to ask you a question on basically what the municipalities in Alberta are doing is setting up a tax grab. And they say that they want to cap it at $1.2 million. Is that correct? But they also want to take a 50% cut, from what I understand, and that there's supposed to be a Bill 127 before legislature last fall on the education tax, but I guess it's going to come up later this month. But what they want is, on the balance, they want a 50% cut of that money to come back in as a property tax. But you think when this is all finished that when they do, if they pass it, if they do put it through, that basically all the mill rates will be going up accordingly to that 50% grab?
I could only speculate on that. I think definitely the municipalities would like to have more tax room locally, and they believe it should happen through the mill rate. My position as a publicly elected school board trustee is that why penalize education and why undermine the funding source for education? The method to do that, if municipalities would like more taxes, is to provide another form of revenue for municipalities rather than undermine education and ask to find another form of revenue for education. I think we've weakened the education property tax almost to the point where we should no longer weaken it any further. For it to be a meaningful tax, I think we basically have to say we're at the floor. The motivation for municipalities, again, it would only be speculation on my part, so probably not worth saying. I do believe municipalities want more money, and this is one method that they're using in order to try and negotiate with the provincial government.
The reason I asked you that, Chris, is when I look at your chart that you had in your book, every time that the school tax mill rate went down, you could see the property tax rates mill rates going up. But you're talking about the municipalities grabbing money. I mean, this city with, for example, the gas tax, the GST, the ambulance and the infrastructure, they're getting $81 million from the government in Alberta infrastructure money. Their 2010 return on the gas tax is going to be over $10 million. Their GST money is going to be over $3 million. And their ambulance grants are going to be close to $8 million. That's coming into the city of Lethbridge. Now, I don't know why they would even be involved in this. And as a citizen, I agree with you that there's no way the city council should be passing a resolution like this unless they come to the people. And they say to the people, this is what we want to do. We want to take this to the Municipalities Association and even through an open hearing, ask the people if they want to do it. But they seem to be doing this all the time. They did it when they wanted terms of office. They spearheaded it into the municipality. So they're the only lobby group. The citizen does not have a lobby group to go to the government and say, no, we don't want what the Municipality Association want. But they say that they represent us. But this is not representation. Thank you.
I think that's true, and I think one thing to remember is school boards have very limited forms of funding. As Ken has said, there are half a dozen forms of funding to municipalities, specifically in this case the city. So we're talking about utilities, we're talking about license fees, we're talking about permits. There's other forms of revenue that the city has, and when you look at their $200 million budget, about $56 million comes from property taxes. So there's other funding sources for the city of Lethbridge. So why would they look at school boards who really have two sources of funding? One's the education property tax, and the other is from the provincial government. We do charge some fees, which really are minimal at the school level, to parents for participation in various activities, but that's a very small percentage of our budgets. We only have those two sources of funding. We don't have the ability to earn money from other sources, so it really underscores the fact that education property taxes should not be touched.
Please do keep your questions short, and let's keep them focused on the topic for the session, which is education property taxes. We don't want to turn this into open season on how the municipal government should fund their budget. Please.
So I think I can follow those rules. Ruth Alzinga, I've enjoyed hearing from you, Mr. Spearman. As a former school trustee, I love what you said about being the purest form of, as you said, of a political involvement?
Of
politics, yes, because I never thought of it as, yes. So I'm pleased and proud to have been a school trustee for two terms. And what was interesting, and I will end up with a question. I just have to make a couple of comments. At my first AUMA convention, that's what it was called back then, as a member of city council, I was taken back by somebody who had encouraged that group assembled, who then wanted to remove taxation, the education taxation. And I spoke up very strongly, having just come from being a school trustee, but it's been on AUMA's agenda for a long time. And part of that is because, of course, they want to be able to endear themselves to the citizens and have a lower tax bill, which I don't think would happen for a minute. It would just creep up. Now, you have provided this information, Mr. Spearman, from the letter from the Minister of Education. I wonder if that's here. Anyway. Well, I've got it here. Here, it came off. But if with your permission, can I just read one of the paragraphs here? Education property taxes also provides a stable source of revenue for education, which is extremely important with our province's volatile resource revenue base. In addition, our current system supports the rights of separate school boards, whether Catholic or Protestant, to requisition education property taxes directly from their taxpayers. You alluded to the fact that over the years, the proportion of our tax bill has been reduced. The government has accepted more responsibility. So indeed, there is more money in the city coffers to do some of the other things. So I guess I will just say that I believe education is everybody's business. That's my comment. I'm going to ask a question. And do you think, Mr. Spearman, that if indeed the AUMA were successful in their lobbying efforts, that we would have a noticeable reduction in our property taxes?
Well, my answer is I don't think there would be a benefit to the taxpayer in the long run. I think it would be easier to have a higher municipal tax rate increase. I think there's been some questions recently in the way the city of Lethbridge has presented its budget. And I'm not passing judgment. I'm saying that we should look and we should ask questions when the information is presented in a way that tends to minimize what the real tax increase is. I think that's just being a responsible citizen. I would expect you would ask the same thing of your local school boards. If you see us increasing spending in a specific area and there isn't a benefit to kids, I think you should be asking questions, similar questions to your school board. It all talks to public accountability and democracy.
My name is Bob Babke. Chris, I've briefly discussed with you here as you're sitting beside me a couple of things, and the very motion that the city passed in October contains these words: the Alberta cities will require a greater share of the revenues that our citizens generate. And then the third preamble is, has resulted in the government of Alberta crowding the tax room available to cities through their property tax base. I understand that there's been meetings with city council since this was passed in a way of protest, both by your board and the public school board. What is the city's response to those preambles in their very motion, do they agree that they intend to invade that tax base if it disappears?
The city hasn't commented on that. In terms of the province crowding the city's area, the graphs that I provided in the package indicate that the education property tax has actually declined. And the city was under the mistaken impression that the education property tax is a provincial tax. There always were education property taxes. They were administered by school boards. In 1994, the province took back the education property taxes and provided a pooling mechanism whereby education property taxes were shared. They have significantly reduced the education property tax mill rate ever since, and the graphs that I've provided clearly demonstrated that. The opposite is happening. The education property tax is not crowding the municipal tax area. Education property taxes have been reduced to a dangerously low level, in my opinion. Will the province take advantage of that, or will the city take advantage of that? I believe the sole intention of reducing education property taxes is so that municipalities can increase their own share of the mill rate.
My name is Henry Heinen, and Chris, if I understood you correctly, from the public school portion of tax on the municipal taxation bill is pooled, distributed by Edmonton equally to all students that are not Catholic public schools. Now, is there a disadvantage for you to have the money sent directly to you from the city of Lethbridge in terms of, say, other jurisdictions who have more tax to collect because of their assessment industry and so on? So in other words, is there a downside to what you're promoting?
No, there is no downside. What happens is the province determines how much it costs to educate each student in this province, and they provide school boards with basically the same amount per student. There is some variation in the funding formula depending on the needs of the students and cost associated with specific school boards. So remoteness from areas, sparsity and distance, those types of things affect the formula. But basically, the basic student formula is unchanged no matter where the student lives. In our case, we charge the mill rate that we provide to the city of Lethbridge is the same as the provincial education mill rate, so the city just directs the funds to us instead of the province, and then the province tops everybody up in the same way through the per pupil funding formulas.
Hello, my name is Diane King, and I would like to thank you very much, Chris. I concur with all the comments that you've made. I am a resident of this community and very definitely support my taxes going to education. As a former trustee of four terms, at one point the Lethbridge Public School District actually proposed a plebiscite to our public whereby we would increase your taxes in order to pay for the cost of technology and textbooks. And with educating the public about that need, we actually ended up having approximately 42% of the public agreeing that education was so important, basic needs were so important, that they would actually support increasing their taxes. My question to you today is whether or not you feel the Catholic School Board, the Holy Spirit School Board, and the Public School Board in Lethbridge have been doing enough, or what might you do, to better educate the public about their connection to their taxes and why indeed it's important that we maintain it, maintain the right to maintain our public education and taxes.
My personal opinion is we're not doing enough as trustees. I think we have to have a more public role. We need to inform our communities of the importance of school boards, not just every 3 years at election time, but we have to find ways of communicating with our electorate. If elected school boards are to remain meaningful, we have to be relevant to our communities. And right now we have a tenuous link to the people in our schools, people who have kids in our schools, and a more tenuous link to people who don't have kids in the school. So basically, we're exposing ourselves to the possibility being made redundant. So my personal opinion may not be that of my fellow board members, but my personal opinion is we need to be more visible in the community. We need to be talking about education issues more often, and what your tax dollars are doing for you in your local schools. We have some great success stories. Kids today have more options than they have ever had. We have some great school facilities, and your school board trustees have worked hard to provide those school facilities. We don't lobby for 3 years for a West Side High School simply to frustrate ourselves. I think we've been pursuing a lot of things. You know, the public school system in Lethbridge has G.S. Lakey School, a beautiful school. We have in our Catholic system, we have St. Paul's School. We have the new St. Patrick's School, beautiful facilities. I think in terms of the options, the opportunities, the programs that are available to kids, there hasn't been a better time in the history of Alberta than there is now. You're being well served by your education system, and your school boards and your trustees aren't doing a good enough job of telling you about it. We're starting to do that through publications like this. The title that I had for this was basically Education Property Taxes. It's a great deal. You're getting a bang for your buck. To reduce education property taxes, I honestly feel you won't get better value by directing that money into local municipal causes.
Ed Bardock.
I wonder, Chris, if the issue is so much property tax and the right to tax, or the amount of money the provincial government gives to education. If sufficient funding was given to education, you don't have to then go to the local taxpayer and cry for taxing that more. I fault school boards who in the last few years have been completely neutered in speaking up for the rights of education. For example, the downloading that the government does both to municipalities for their services, for health services, and now for education is in some cases obscene. How much money do schools have to levy to parents for extra fees? That to me is a disgrace. We are even charging for transportation. Transportation to get kids to school, and I did a report on this, is an essential part of coming to school, and there should be no charge for a student to be transported to school, period. But school boards remain acquiescent and silent about that. They remain silent to the government about the need for raising fees. And when you have that downloading of things like that, it's not property taxes that bother so much. It's the downloading without effective resources coming from the government.
Well, I won't be an apologist for the provincial government. I think there have been improvements in funding. We have a new funding formula. I think school board trustees have lobbied for improvements. For the last few years, we've participated in a process where we said where the funding pressures were, what types of extra things needed to be funded. We have something, I'm more familiar with our own school division, but in some of the rural areas that we represent, we have schools that basically cover a broader range of grades. It's, they have fewer students at the high school level, and when you have an ECS to grade 12 school, the funding formula doesn't fit very nicely. When we have a high school, like Catholic Central, they tend to do very, very well versus, say, some of our elementary schools. But when you have a school that covers all those grades, it's really hard for them to meet the program, and so it's hard to find that equity. But I would say we've been working on the formulas. We've been improving the formulas. I think we've had a positive relationship with the provincial government. In terms of education, I think when you look at money going into education from the province, that actually has been a good thing. I guess the focus of my talk today is I would rather not lose that link to the local education property tax base, to the local taxpayer. I don't want to become dependent on the province. I think it's important that our communities understand what's happening in our schools. And when we have people, if we were in the old system and we were saying the one that I first knew about when I became a trustee, where we had to raise the local mill rate in order to cover the basics. If those mill rate increases were significant, and we said we have to do this, the province hasn't given us enough money, that brings the local taxpayer into the equation. You know, we no longer have that ability. So some of that downloading does take place, and the school boards, and to some extent the municipalities, are in the squeeze. When you basically delegate your authority to the people in Edmonton, there isn't that local accountability for local services like education.
More questions?
My question is very brief. Clarence Shrimp. Do away with the education taxes and do away with half my tax bill. 50% they get of my tax bill. Do away with it. I agree 100% with the city if they're willing to take it off. The province will probably do exactly the same as you're getting now with a little lobbying. And so I say, let it ride.
Thank you.
My question is, who in this audience is the same position as I am? I'm 84 years old. I've paid taxes for my children, my grandchildren, and now next year I'll be paying taxes for my great-grandchildren. Somehow that should be graduated. I shouldn't have to pay taxes anymore. Thank you.
Okay. So Clarence had a question. And in fairness, how many people agree with Clarence that the education tax should be wiped out? And how many are opposed? It looks like a 75% plurality in favor of education taxes. But I guess, Clarence, what I would say to you we're all benefiting. Your family's benefiting from education, even though it's your children, and your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren. The one good thing about the education property tax is that it can be capped. That if you're a senior, you won't pay any more in education property taxes than you paid the year before. So I think there is a benefit for seniors that way. So to reap that benefit's not available from your local municipal property taxes. And I guess when I looked at the data, what I saw in the last 10 years was the mill rates being close to being equal between municipal taxes and the education property tax. And now the education property tax in Lethbridge is about 4 mills. It's about half of what the municipal tax is. So it's not 50-50. You're paying half of what you would have been. Yeah. Okay.
I'm Diane Pointer. I've never been on the school board, and I never taught. I was a student once, and I had children attending school, and I was a nurse. I feel that I paid for my education sort of retroactively. When I was going to school, it was free to me, and after that, I paid for it. Anyway, but my question has to do with, as I listen to Chris talking about things being at arm's length and having the community having contact and control over their school board, I'm wondering if he is fearful that what happens to this, or might happen to the school board, is what has already happened to hospital boards, is they are puppets of the provincial government as opposed to servants of the local people.
I think that would be a highly undesirable outcome. I think it's really important that school board trustees are democratically elected and that they remain accountable. It would be a shame if there wasn't local accountability for education. I think I've said that. And I guess being a school board trustee has been one of the most rewarding experiences in my life. Being able to work on things and see the fruits of those rewards in the local community has been a very positive thing. I've grown as an individual. You know, we have to work together in order to achieve those things. You work with people who understand the education system, who understand how kids learn. You work with other trustees. You work with an administration in achieving goals for your school division. And in terms of finding a way to do things with my personal time outside of work, and it's been a rewarding sacrifice, if you like, and with many, many benefits. And I've enjoyed the whole experience. I think to lose that experience, to delegate that to people in Edmonton to make local decisions, I think that would be a catastrophe, and education and our communities would not be well served by that outcome.
Albert Coy, good to see some more trustees come up here. And anyway, your main gist, Chris, was the stabilization of education. And I think we should look at the bigger picture, education. And higher education is becoming more necessary today than it has before. And do you not think, to be fair and square about it, that we should look at the big picture, at the big pot, not just our taxation, I'm talking about the big pot of funds which goes to education of all kinds, higher and lower, and be fair and let's share. Because I've got grandkids, I've got two jobs to bring them to through university and college. And I think there should be some equity in the system, and maybe that's what the government is looking for. More equitability, because higher education is more of a necessity today than it was in the time when we went to school. And I think changes are necessary. I think I wish you'd comment on that.
Well, I have kids who've gone to university and community college as well. I know the cost is prohibitive. I think students are paying a tremendous cost. I think basic education is something that everyone's entitled to in our community. I hope that we can look at higher education. The government, I think, is onto something with their program called Campus Alberta, trying to get educational institutions to work together, trying to reduce costs for students. I don't think we've seen much happening in that area. In terms of funding and providing additional funding to those institutions, I think investments in education have a tremendous return for the local communities and for the people involved. So I do support additional money for basically students attending higher educational learning institutions. But I think they have to have a high quality of basic education in order to get there. So I think it's important to maintain that base. In terms of that connection, I guess the difficulty is that there's a lot of mobility when it comes to higher education. In other words, our kids are entitled to go to Edmonton or Montreal or, you know, who should pay for those institutions? So they should be more federally and provincially funded if you're going to a university. I mean, there's a lot of kids who are going to the University of Lethbridge who basically weren't raised in Lethbridge. So I think there's some type of a geographical issue there, too, in terms of how that should be funded, and I think that that's more of a provincial or federal responsibility. Local education, kids attending local schools, should be funded by local taxpayers.
Any more questions? I think while we're waiting for the questioner to come up, on the question of higher education, I am pleased to announce that I received an email this morning from the Minister of Advanced Education for Alberta, Dave Hancock, and he has agreed to address the session of SAGPA on May 25th. So, subject to the House not sitting, he asked in his email. So, a lot of those questions you would be able to address to him at that time.
Thank you very much. My name is Ken Eichel. Chris, your question you put to the floor on who would not want to pay education tax. I think possibly you should have put that question to seniors and how much education tax would they want to pay? Would they want to pay 50%? Would they want to pay 66% less than what they pay now based on the years that they have funded education? I think your question could have possibly been that way. And I think it interests a lot of seniors right now that they would like to see a reduction in that education tax. They don't want to be right out of it. You'll still pay something, but not all of it. What would you think to say to that?
I'm not sure how you would administer a means test. The reality is our population's getting older. We're going to need taxpayers, and I do sympathize with the fact that there are significant income reductions for some people when they retire. So I think how we would do that, there would have to be some type of a system developed which was based on a means test, so that you could provide some form of rebate to people that could apply for that. I think that would be about the only way that could work. But, you know, potentially that could happen, that there'd be some rebating backwards. But that's the only way that I see at the moment. The one advantage is, as I've said, there is a cap on the education taxes. With municipal taxes, there is no method of rebate, no method of capping. You'll pay whatever the mill rate is.
Well, thanks very much, everyone. Our session is going to come to a close now, but I would like you to join with me in thanking Chris Spearman for his presentation.
And thank you. Thanks to each of you for coming out today and for your interest in public education. Thank you.